What's up, fool? What up, fool? What's up, fool? Podcast live. Like every week, with Rodrigo Torres right here wearing a shirt. Wearing a Pittsburgh Lakers T-shirt.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, man. Had a match it though.
That's weird. Where are those colors?
Right, 28.
23.
Yeah, LeBron.
Where'd those colors come from?
These ones?
Yeah, black,
I think
and gold.
They did it new with the new little merchandise marketing thing.
They took out the purple?
Yeah.
Did you have to order that T-shirt? They don't got them, right? They're hard to find now.
Dude, I got it Foot Locker. Riverside.
Lisa's here right here, chilling. The Snow Queen.
Hello.
All the way over there.
Is that a Mario Brothers, the Snow Queen?
No.
No, it's from the kids show.
What kids show?
The kids show with a little dog and a little kid that wears that hoodie.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I don't know the name of it, but the little kid in the backpack with a dog and a going adventure.
Adventure Time?
Adventure Time.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. No, that's the Ice Princess, I think.
Ice Princess.
I forget her name.
What's up, fool? This week, I'm going to be at Amarillo, Texas this Friday, August 10th. McAllen, Texas, August 11th. Lubbock, Texas, August 24th. Laredo, Texas, August 25th. Brea, California, August 30th through September 2nd, Labor Day weekend. Check out felipesworld.com/tour for all upcoming shows and ticket information. This week on the podcast, we have Lana Turner. She is the wife of the late comedian Ralphie May, and she's also been a guest in the past, and she'll be on later on, and maybe she'll sing that song Mayonnaise. What's up, fool? We didn't get to talk about it last week, but
is Johnny coming? I thought he was gonna show up.
Fuck that guy. You should just call him right now. Give me your phone.
But wait, what were you going to say? You didn't get to talk about it last time. What? Or do you want to bring that up?
Oh, that we went to, what's up, listeners on Facebook? We went to go check out Lucha Vaboom.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was awesome, man. A lot of guys out there looking, a lot of guys, wrestlers out there with mascaras and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a burlesque.
I had a badass burlesque dancer, that one girl. She was
this girl dancing on a pole, a floating pole.
A floating pole. I've never seen that. Supported by the ceiling.
Lock that fool into the microphone right here.
They don't have the connection, dude.
We don't have a connection.
The iPhone one. You can do it on speaker, though.
Yeah.
Just hold it up to your mic.
All right. We're calling Johnny Rocket right now. Supposed to be here.
But you want to put it up to this one so you don't have to. Oh, you do? For the iPhone? The newer one, the little the different one.
Oh, I don't have that.
All right. What's up? Well, where you at, dog?
My house.
I thought you're supposed to be on the podcast today, dog.
Oh yeah, but I wasn't sure what time. I thought it was
at 2:00. Bro, it's been noon for the last 3.5 years, bro.
Oh, it's been 12, dog. What's wrong with you? One time, man.
What are you talking about, though? Have you lost your mind?
It was at noon, bro. First of all, if somebody invites a podcast, you ask immediately at what time. You don't wait a year and then ask later, hey, what's on the podcast?
There you go.
Oh, but if Nick Guerra would have asked you, bro, you would have said, what time, Nick?
It's stupid.
What time? Should I be there, honey? All right, dude, we're starting a podcast. Johnny's not going to be here, people. He's too busy getting another hickey.
This one already looks late, though.
What's up, fool? That's it, eh? It's going to be the three of us. We forgot. First of all, man, if somebody invites you to go somewhere or be on a podcast, you should ask immediately, what time should I be there?
Yeah, totally.
Well, I was never told what time, so.
Well, but wasn't he standing right there when I told you we're having Lana? You guys are at the driveway, the end of the driveway, right?
I heard the same thing. At noon.
At noon.
Because I asked you if we were going to do it at noon. So, yeah, at noon. Mm-hmm. You know,
he must have been standing on his head or something.
Doing some yoga.
Went from Johnny Handsome to Johnny Come Lately.
Because I know if somebody invites me somewhere, but I don't want to go, I don't even know for what time it is.
I'll be there, dog.
Yeah, anyway,
you are like that.
Felipe, are you going to go do that thing? Yeah, bro, I am. And then, dude, I know what day it is, but then when I get that call, oh, it's right now. Oh, no, I thought it was nighttime.
You pay it no mind?
For a lot of people are fooled by Felipe, and they think that he's just flying by the seat of his pants and isn't paying attention to stuff. But he knows.
You've all been fooled.
It's all calculated.
You've all been fooled, eh?
It's hilarious.
So what's up, fool? Where were we last week?
Jacksonville,
Florida.
We're in Jacksonville, Florida, man. It was humid as a motherfucker. George showed up, bro. George.
Come on,
George's cousin.
What's going on? The bagels. The bagels.
What up? Shout out to all these people. Gabriel Garza. George Kodinsky showed up. Oh, shit, dude. This is my homie right here, dog.
Who?
From the projects. Joe Chaparro, bro.
Who's that fool?
Joello, bro.
Joello, dog.
From Flats.
Oh, shit.
Big Four Flats, I guess. Yeah. He's cool, bro. I grew up with that guy. We were in a summer camp and shit. Dude, this guy, I saw one time, like, I was never, like, he was cool with me, right? But I knew this fool could fight, but he kind of, like, didn't look like he could fight. But he could fight.
Get him in.
And I saw him one time. I was coming home, and... I was coming home, and there was this big black dude and him. And
ready to go at it?
Ready to go at it. And they put a quarter on his shoulder, like knocked down my shoulder or whatever, and the fighter start back in the days.
Oh, I remember that. It's like a duel. It's like a slap in the face for a duel.
They'll put a little stick right here, like, oh, shit, you want to fight?
As soon as it falls, it's
on. Knock it off my shoulder.
So the other fool has one too, right? And the first, like, that fool will knock it down. This guy will knock it down. But if, like, the person knocks it down, so, dude. This black dude, I think his name was Junior or Lawrence Moore. I don't know. I don't want to say his real name.
Right.
He's my friend on Facebook, too. So, that fool went like this to Joello. But it was a quarter. Uh-huh. And then Joello just punched that fool in the face. But it was inside the gym, dude. Like, it wasn't even outside. And I said, well, I guess it's not a good day to play basketball today. And I fucking left, eh? I said, fuck that. I don't want to be next. Well, Joello, I don't know if you're listening, bro. Do you remember that? Oh, that fool said he started clapping. Yeah, he said he does.
Clap emoji.
Shout out to Joel. We have Lana Turner right here. What up?
Hello. Oh, my God. Felipe, I gotta give you a hug. I haven't seen you in so long.
What up?
Oh, it's been a while.
Since the wedding, probably.
I think so. Maybe.
Let me get your water.
Has it been that? I think maybe not.
No, I think we saw her the last time she did the podcast.
What
Gold Studios Rally?
Mm-hmm.
So good to see you guys.
Likewise.
Shout out to Becca Lee Espalsa. 36 listeners, man. Well, so where were you at? You were in Jacksonville, right? The Comedy Zone? You went to the Comedy Zone before?
Yeah.
In Jacksonville?
Yeah.
That's the place with a hotel room and everything together, right?
I don't... Okay, is that the one...
In the hotel.
Okay, yeah. I've done that several times.
When you walk into the lobby, the comedy club is to the right, the lobby is to the left, and then Gigi's Italian restaurant buffet is in the front.
Oh, I don't know that I've experienced Gigi's.
Gigi.
But
it felt that club felt like doing a comedy show instead of a boat.
Yeah.
A cruise ship, bro. Because you couldn't get away from the half of the people after the show.
Dude,
I don't want to see you having sex in a swimming pool when I'm walking back to my my hotel room all high.
A lot of people saying what's up on Thursday from Saturday or Saturday from Thursday.
Do a lot of people stay there?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like a destination thing. They have a lot of stuff going on at this hotel, though. They got
a grip of stuff.
Huge buffet. They got a lounge. They got a comedy club. They got something else, right?
They have swimming.
Oh, well, something else, though. It's like a high end buffet though, right? Lobster, crab legs. Stuff like
they have a mystery theater too. You find out the mystery is you gotta find out who fucked in the swimming pool.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't remember this being
DNA is this?
A nice like
no. I didn't say it was nice. Yeah. I just said they had a lot of stuff
everything
going on.
Yeah. Dude, it was way more humid than Orlando, dude.
If you wanna listen to the rest of the show, go to youtube.com/ATC. Okay, /ATC.
Or go to Facebook.
I'll go to Facebook.
Put it on Facebook.
I'll turn it off.
All right. I'll put it on Facebook. That was where? Instagram?
No, my face page. My Facebook page.
Personal. Oh, personal. Okay. Too much stuff.
So you're going next week?
No, we were there last week.
Oh, you were just there.
This weekend.
Oh.
Did you see Adam Murray's? Adam Murray, he was a featured comedian. Did you see the free food? Sometimes, man, when we didn't get free food, they act like they're never going to get free food again, huh?
I was like, what's the big idea over here?
So you have 4 days. You don't have to get everything in one day. This guy had like big old fat porterhouse steak.
Prime rib. But he likes crab legs. I've never eaten
so those crab legs. And he had oysters.
When you're used to not being treated right on the road and somebody offers you free food, it doesn't matter if it's a plate of fried grossness. You're just like, oh, my God, it's free.
I'm tripping.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
I did a show in, I think it was Tucson, Arizona, and before the show, there was a buffet on the side of the stage. It was a good buffet, man. They had good food. There was a fake chef right there slicing prime rib. They had jello. They had cake. Then people sat down, watched the show, and fell asleep.
Was that Rascals?
No, it was in Tucson. We were there. The comedy club. It was the casino.
Ah. Oh.
Before, when they were setting up, there was like a coffee shop on the side of the stage. What's up, fool? We got Lana Turner right here.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, so how was the show last night, bro? Give us some details.
Oh, it was killer, dude. It was the best show we had so far.
I saw it was packed.
Yeah, dude. It was a good-ass turnout, dude. Again, dude, like, people came right at 8, though, dog. I was like, dude, at 7:45, goddamn, dog. I thought I advertised, dog. And then Martin showed up early, dude.
He wore a white T-shirt with bamboos, bro.
Let it out, eh? But he was good, dog. He was, dude, he let it out, dog. It was tight. And it was me. Luis Bañuelos came. He has a new number, by the way. I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
He's my new number, dog. So he went up there, had new little jokes, getting back to the game.
About the podcast?
Oh, hell yeah.
What do
you say? It's crazy, dog. Because a lot of guys are telling me, my homeboy said that you mentioned me in the podcast, dog. Thanks, dog. I'm like famous, but I'm not, dog.
You know, his impersonation of Luis sounds a little bit like the Peter, what's his name?
Peter Griffin?
Peter, no. In that movie, Murder by Death with...
The Chinese guy.
Peter Sellers playing the Chinese guy, the Chinese sort of detective. That old Chinese detective. I can't think of his name. But he has this accent. He sounds a lot like the way you do it.
But if you look at him, he looks like one of those Luis Buñuelos looks like he could be in an old Kung Fu movie, dog. And then
getting kicked.
And then Crampton's cousin was out from New York. He does stand-up. And we gave him a little guest spot, so he was cool. He did good.
Crampton?
Yeah, Crampton came out, dog. And his cousin, what's his name? Peyton McCann from Alaska. Who's related to Sarah Palin, dog. That's his aunt, dog.
He did comedy?
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
No, he was good, dude. And yeah.
Is that like in his credits?
I had to throw it in there. And then Hooter went up, did a little 10 minutes, and then Martin Moreno closed it out with a 45. I feel at home here, eh?
He said that?
Nah, dog. But
he did 45 minutes?
Yeah, dog.
You did a lot of talking before the punchline, huh?
This fool. Nah, dude, he was good, dog. Like, he's getting his, like, his little shit together, little sex.
I saw him, fucking, I heard him a little bit. He goes, sensitive people, eh? That's all I heard.
I sent you that snap, fool.
Which was, oh, dude.
What, dog?
What's up, fool? A big shout out to Willie Barcena and his kids getting fucked up together now.
Is that what's happening on those videos?
Willie Barcena, Willie put up a. I only saw it because Mega Man posted it up, right?
Mega Man tagged you on a comment on that video.
On the video.
Come over, eh?
It's Willie Barcena, and he's like having a beer. And his two kids are having a beer too, bro.
Uh-huh.
But they're old enough to have
beer. It's so weird though, right? Because we're getting to that point in our lives now where kids, people we knew like 20 years ago, and you're like, oh my God, you got adult kids.
Oh, yeah. The kids are like in their 20s
now.
Oh,
no. It's tripping me up.
Totally tripping.
And when they go, hey, are you guys they, that don't even have time to hang out with your kids, eh? But I'm thinking, dude, you're having a beer, dog.
That's all, your curriculum.
They all drove here. And then later on, he apologizes for another video, bro. Because somebody was getting mad, I guess, at the video.
Uh-huh. What did they say?
I don't know.
He wasn't really apologizing. He said, sorry if I offended any of you deadbeats who don't want to spend time with your kids.
All of a sudden, he's an all-American daddy.
But it was funny though, dude.
Why, dog?
Because you know, sooner or later, some wrestling match about to start.
You know, after one more beer, there's going to be the wrestling request.
Really? What time you cheated on my mom, dog?
I think Mega Man secretly wants to get choked by Willie, bro.
Hey, dog, he's setting himself up, dude.
For real, bro. He wants to be in there to mix. It's funny when people, when he yells out stuff to him and the other comedian yells out stuff to him about that we say here, and then Willie has no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
Oh, dude, they don't even know, dog. They've never said anything bad, dude.
Like, shout out to the Joe Rogan Experience. I was on the show last Tuesday, bro.
Yeah, Felipe, nice. You were
4 hours.
Yeah, wow, man. Good.
4 hours. I spoke for 2 minutes. I spoke a lot. It was fun.
It was tight, dog.
It was cool, man. It was just him and I just rapping about boxing and all kinds of shit.
This guy had one crazy line.
Yeah. Tell me, how stoned were you guys?
He showed up stoned, man. He showed up like somebody. No. He showed up like he came from somewhere working out, and then got tired, hit a ball, went to work out again, and got tired. So he was tired and high.
Yeah, it seemed like he just came. And then he lit up
a blunt. I didn't know that fool fucked with blunts. If I would have known, I would have brought you a backwood. I gave that fool a pack of OG Louis XIII, but he wasn't ready, bro.
I was like, when is he gonna open that pack?
I was waiting, dog. 4 hours in, man. Light one up.
Hey, he did. He did light up a blunt.
Yeah, before he got there.
Oh, okay. Oh, fuck, dude, I didn't see that. All right.
After the show, we hung out for another 30 minutes playing pool.
Yeah, dog.
Got re-invited.
Hell yeah, dude. Nice. It was tight, dude.
It was cool. A lot of people listened, man. I got a lot of calls. Not calls. Nobody called me.
A lot of folks were proud.
A lot of emailed me. A lot of emails from people in Australia. Because you know how I mentioned that I got into comedy but they don't know how to write jokes.
Gene Perrette.
So I went to the library, and I asked the librarian. So a lot of librarians hit me up, bro.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
That was very nice of you to bring up librarians. You know, we're still here, man.
Yeah, a librarian in Australia.
We're very funny people. Nobody knows it because we're very quiet.
Yeah, very quiet.
But we're really, really funny and have dirty, dirty minds.
They don't have a big glossary no more, right? That's done, right?
The Dewey Decimal System, you mean? Card catalog?
I still think they do.
Yeah.
Not everybody's digital.
But how often do they... We're talking about the big old thing with the books.
I don't know how often they update it, but they use the Dewey Decimal System in the computer now.
Yeah.
I don't know about the actual card catalog.
There was also a job to get rid of some cards. Now somebody had a job. Man, if you had a job at a library, bro, not inside the library as a librarian, but the guy out behind the scenes when it's closed, fucking good-ass job.
The library guy behind the scenes.
Like the guy that puts everything away.
Everything's closed. Yeah. He puts all the books back.
Because
he knows where the fucking books go. Dude, that's the kind of job, bro, I would love, dude. Just show up a fucking super annihilated. Like, I had a fat-ass bowl in the parking lot before I go in.
I had a job.
and then eat a brownie for my lunch. And then talk to myself for the next hour, dude.
Nights at Freddy over
and
here,
two
dog.
Books get put away.
People say, like, oh, he's an idiot. He talks to himself. But, bro, when you pray, you're talking to yourself, too, you asshole. So, who's crazy?
I had a
At
job
least the person
like that,
I'm thinking
though.
About is real.
Give me a little
I had
him.
To do that. I had to put away. I had to look there for lost files in the insurance office.
Oh,
that
was murder.
Gosh. Shoot me.
Yeah. Bad, when I first moved to LA. I mean, you have to do all kinds of stuff when you first move to LA to just
Those type of jobs bring up the best other people, though, man. If they're like comedians or cartoonists.
You develop new skills.
For real, man.
But you decide that you're going to do this or not because is death.
That shit will bring out the best out of you, man. Yeah.
You know you can't you're be happy. Committed. Yeah, you're miserable enough to be funny. It's true. It's the worst parts of your life that make you funny. That sucks. That's why we're all so miserable.
There were people killed roaches on the side.
Hell yeah.
What was the worst job you had? You said, fuck this.
The worst job?
You fell off the wall.
Nah, dude. The worst is just when we used to clean out attics, dude. It'd be hot as hell, dude. Just digging out insulation. And then, like, dude, a couple fools falling through the ceiling, dude. And then I have to deal with the customers and get that shit patched up. And it's just the heat, dude. That's
somebody
it, dude.
Fell through the ceiling?
Yeah, because, you know, they have the
rafters,
the
insulation,
right?
Yeah.
Either panties.
If you don't follow the
So you
rafters,
have to follow those. And then sometimes you get a little too comfortable and you forget about it if you haven't been doing that long. And they fall through and then the fool gets stuck. Yeah. And then, like, dude, but Hussein was a mad improviser. One time we were getting out these bees at this at the library on Hacienda, and we broke it, dude. It was like a panel. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do here, Rod. So we put it all back together, but it was still cracked. And then we went to Home Depot and we found this brown silicone that matched it, dog. You could even tell, dog.
Kind of like that crack filler for wood.
Exactly. But it would have cost us more to fix that than it would the payment we were going to get for taking care of those bees, dog. Back to the libraries. It's like a microfiche.
Well, the worst jobs, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but.
This white girl cleaned houses.
That's a pretty crappy job.
That's a crappy job.
Yeah.
Though. If people are slobs.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you have those houses that are always clean.
Like Adam Murray's house. Which
oh, my no, God. It's fucking pandemonium,
dog. Grossness up. That was.
But what was your worst job? Huh?
Oh. It's bad. It's gonna be bad.
Oh, my worst job, bro. I made them great the next day, bro.
I quit.
Like, I had a job, dude. I don't know if I mentioned this. Father Greg Boyle, he was here.
Uh-huh.
He got us jobs at the Columbia Pictures or the, you know, at the studios. And there was under the sets, there's a basement. And right there was all kind of pipes
mm-hmm.
that were all plastic. And some of them were metal. And they hired us to take out all the pipes, fool. They're going to bring in new ones. And the first day we were screwing them, fuck, this fucking thing forever. But then, like, I started talking to a lot of people that worked there, right? Like the employees, the real employees, not the people who hired us. So what's going to happen here after we get rid of them? Oh, like I said, fuck that room. They're going to demolish the whole room and put in new pipes. So what's going to happen to the pipes right now, the plastic ones? Fuck that. They're going to throw it away. The next day, I told everybody, put down screws, pick up hammers. We're just going to fuck everything up. We're going to throw it away anyways. So, dude, we all picked up hammers. Instead of screwing out all the pipes that they told us to, fuck that, dude. We broke everything.
A fucking brain smasher.
We're done in a week. Idiots, bro. No more work after that. No more money.
Oh, dude. So you cut it down, dog.
I know, bro. I could have just took my time, bro, like a bison.
Or union style, dog.
Yeah. So he was paid. We were standing in line, and this fat white dude who looked like a boss hog, but Hollywood studio guy.
Yeehaw.
He was probably the lowest of the totem pole there, dude. Uh-huh. He was paying us $150 in cash.
A day each?
Every Friday.
Oh, okay.
This was 1990, bro.
So good-ass money, dog.
Cash, bro. Fool with bloody fingers carrying that money, dog. with taped up fingers. Didn't go to the hospital grabbing that money. Me, clean ass hand, dude. Grabbing $150 and grabbing $10 from four other guys because I told them about the job.
Gotta wet my beak.
Hey. There was four losers, bro, who didn't have shit to do but sell rocks and PCP all day. So I told him, man, listen, man, I know it's a fucking great job, man. And once we food have money every Friday, they'll probably buy drugs.
Uh-huh.
So, but you guys pay me $10, dude. I'll get you the job. So I got every Friday, these four fools will give me $10 each. So that's, I was making $200, dog.
What, finder's fee?
Finder's fee.
For a job? Just every Friday you tax those same people.
Yeah.
Why not just a one-time fee? You got them for every week?
There you go, man.
Damn.
That's why you would have been at home doing laundry for free.
That's not a bad job.
That's why you'd be one person. You wouldn't be going.
I ain't paying every week.
You'd be at home selling ice cups.
Or you will be replaced if you don't give me that money.
You'll be over there fucking taking care of kids for $25 a week, right? But these two are drug dealers already, dude.
So that's money.
So they're used to giving a cut to somebody else. Anybody?
I knew who to get it from.
Yeah, dog.
That was a good job. Worst job. That job lasted 3 weeks. But the best part was when they were filming Rocky IV, and we saw Sylvester Stallone Corvette.
Really?
His whole car was filled with fingerprints. Eh?
Everybody touching it?
Everybody.
Hey, dude, that one dude that you used to work with that you said that you used to always say, that's what she said. What job was that, fool?
Ori, bro. No, that was some crazy ass redneck that was living in Rosemead. And that fool was fighting with the city because he had two pigs, dude. Two Vietnamese pigs.
They weren't going to let him keep it, so he's trying to keep it.
Every day he was going to fucking clowns trying to take my fucking pigs.
These clowns! You're lying, dog. You love the pigs, eh, dog?
So that fool even made posters and go around the whole city and leave posters named Save the Pigs.
Shut the fuck up.
Fool. This fool had a yard that was too dirty, too dirty, dude. Because he collected old fire engines. So he had like he'll see like an old fire engine from the 30s that's on sale for 10 G's. He'll just buy it, bro, and park it in his yard and never fix it. So he had like already he had four fire engines.
Get antique roadshow over here.
And he had two pigs running around the house, bro. Hairy little fools, dog.
And what was his wife Vietnamese or something or what?
I don't know, dude. No, white. But he was also a thief, dog. Like he was one of the contractors that, like if he sees another contractor, he'll go there and have a conversation with us. He goes, "How much more time you guys have in this job? Oh, we have one more day. Tools are gone, dude."
Shut up, dog. Who is this swindler, dog?
Oh no, dude. This fool will have a conversation with other contractors all over the building. And they'll find out how many days they have. Like, if they're going to be gone next weekend.
You better get them now.
So that means the tool, somebody's going to come back and get their tools for them before they grab all their tools, dog. But then this Native American dude named, I think, Ronnie. I forgot his name, dude.
John Redcorn.
He was funny, dog. He was a dick, dog. He was a dick, dog. That fool, he drew that fool all funny. He was smoking a cigarette with two little pigs in the bottom, bro. Holding all kinds of toolboxes, bro. And then he put beware. And he put them all over, dog.
Sticky fingers over here, fool. Hey, how'd you link up with that fool, dog?
Because I was working for Western Electric. Western Electric was a company that was hired during the times when they were selling all the phone companies, the baby bells. The baby bells.
Consolidating them into the bigger.
So South Pacific, AT&T, North Pacific, West Pacific, all the Pacific were under one Pacific. So when they were getting rid of all the phones, AT&T started coming in because they were going to have cell phones. They saw the future. So our job was to go in there and slice phone lines.
Kill cables
from people.
And yank it.
All day, bro. All fucking day. We're talking thousands of miles of cable, dude.
God damn.
Four floors. So we'd be in there pulling cable all day. So I met this with Melrose at the Melrose AT&T. He was like, he had his own crew there. A bunch of dudes who didn't work, dog. Plus, this fool's a chain smoker. I've never seen a chain smoker, Lana. I'm pretty sure he grew up with a lot of chain smokers.
Yeah, right.
This fool run. This fool let up a more.
A more.
And
dog.
Then turn it off. And then the next, he put a brand new cigarette and light it with an old cigarette.
Yeah, you don't turn it off first. You light it first, and then.
You light up the next cigarette, then you turn it off.
Keep the chain going.
And this back then when you could smoke in a fucking green room, bro. And then that fool would say, "That's what she said for everything, bro."
I remember you telling us that story.
There were these two women, they were talking about something downstairs, and we were up there, right? And he goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Yeah, man, I'm having a really hard time getting up this morning." And that fool up there. That's what she said. And farts, bro.
God.
And farts, bro. And then the fucking fart will go down because the AC's up there. So the AC's hitting us and it's hitting the ground. So that fart will carry that fucking AC will carry the fart
what
down.
A lovely God, person.
He was a damn dude. That fool got mad though when they put the beware signs.
They outed his ass.
The city put the sign? Or I thought you said he put
employee,
the sign.
That, no, native, some other that employee. Native guy.
Recording.
It's a worker.
It was funny, dude. It was that fool will see a tool unmanned, he'll grab it, bro.
Really? Just put it in the collection?
A whole toolbox. If it don't got your name, it has his name now.
Fucking magnet, huh? And so you were at Melrose working for the other one, and how'd you run into him? How'd you start talking to him?
He worked
for
Western Electric, too.
Okay.
So they put all the lazy crews together in one place.
And one of you guys will be a leader.
Yeah, I see a leader anymore.
But these guys were all like white boys from, I don't know, from Rosemead area, I guess.
Really?
We're lazy fools, dog. like, I guess Rosemead had white boys back then, back in the days, dog.
Oh, dude.
And this other dude that worked there, him and I would take a lunch, and he'll take out a fat stress joint, dude. And we're smoking. And it's funny the whole time, like, I didn't even know that back then. At the Melrose Improv was just right there.
Really?
And I did want to be a comedian. If I would have known, bro, I would have just went for the open mic and invited Ori, that fool is still tools for the fucking improv.
His name was Ori, that fool?
I think his name was Ori.
What did he look like, fool?
Dude. He looked short, red-headed, old white dude, big-ass beer belly, bro, with little arms. And like Yosemite Sam, bro. And he had blue eyes. And his mother grew up in Compton, like South Central area, back in the days. And his mom every day still went to leave flowers for that fool.
Really?
Hell yeah. She grew up in the old days, bro. The old days when you made a lunch for your fucking husband and you leave him a little note.
Aw. Yeah, I do that sometimes.
There you go. Old school,
man. Little note. Wow, dude. Fucking Ori, dog.
What's up, fool? We got Lana Turner right here.
Hell yeah.
Felipe.
What you got going, man?
Oh, so much.
How's the kids?
Kids are good.
Sorry about Ralphie Mae.
Yeah, that sucks. Right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Little,
that's,
her daughter, bro. She remember little August and April, right?
April, May.
They're big. They're 9 and 10 now.
That's why I seen them was at your wedding.
She was dancing her ass off with Lisa and everybody.
Yeah, yeah. She
didn't want to leave.
She did not. She is a party animal. She get down at a party.
Yeah. I love when kids get down at parties like that. Like, there's dancing involved. I like them when they start dancing too and get all sweaty.
Cool. Yeah.
You know why? When they get home, crash.
Yeah.
She was all sweaty and she came up to me and she said, "We have to go.
You're a princess."
She was like wiping her face off. She's all sweaty.
Yeah. No, they had a blast. Your wedding was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was a beautiful, beautiful day. Yeah, that's, God, how many years has that been now?
Almost four.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. That's, wow.
So much has changed in 4 years.
Yeah.
I had no idea I was at a wedding and that I'd soon not be married. Well, I never got
married. Well, you mentioned
married,
it here. You were here on
your anniversary.
On your anniversary on our podcast.
On the podcast, the 10th anniversary, I think, of your wedding. And I think there were already kind of hints already that things weren't going so well.
He filed and then I...
He filed. No, you filed.
Everybody thinks it was me. It was not me, Felipe.
Well, I didn't know then.
He filed twice. So here's the thing. It's such a sad story. Like,
it's very sad.
He was really sick. You know, he was really sick. He was struggling. And I went to Madison, Wisconsin, and he was coming off of a gnarly oxycodone withdrawal, and he wasn't in his right state of mind. I think it was...
Not for the pain for the knees? Or was he taking that before?
You know, when he had pulmonary embolisms at all... It was everything.
Oh, he had that before he had pneumonia and everything?
He had the embolisms, God, over 10 years ago now. So after that, they took him off weed because his lungs couldn't take weed. But they were like, here's all this other stuff.
That's why he stopped smoking weed, huh?
Just edibles on?
Well, he went back to weed, but his lungs, you know, were never the same because when you pass those clots through your lungs, it destroys them. Yeah. And he should never have taken up weed again. But they also, you know, he got hooked on all that other stuff. So he did a couple of stints in rehab. It was a mess for 7 years. He was in and out of hospitals and rehabs 11 times in 7 years while we were still together. And that last time when I found the pills, I didn't know he was back on pills. I should have known because all the signs were there, but I'm ignorant. And I found them, and I was scared for myself and the kids because he wasn't in his right normal Ralphie sweetheart state of mind that we all know. And that's him. He's a sweetheart, but this was not him. And so I took the kids and we went home. And that week that followed, he filed with people that soon became his management. They weren't his management before. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
So he filed with attorneys who became his manager.
No. He filed with a friend and then who became his manager.
So that person just did the paperwork for him?
No,
and
he took him to the divorce attorney.
Really?
And then became his manager.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a big mess because I don't think he had his best interest at heart. So Ralphie actually unfiled because I was like, why did you do that? It was devastating. And then he refiled a little bit later in secrecy. He didn't tell me he'd refiled, but I'm a woman and I have a sixth sense. And I did a little research and I found, because the thing about divorce is like, there's this whole who files first thing and there's all this bullshit. Like it's all this legal stuff that should not enter into a union between two people who make kids and love each other. But anyways, I found out about his filing and then I filed in California because this is where the kids and I and him were living all those years, even though we had a second residency in Tennessee. And when that happened, TMZ reported that I filed for divorce because they look for the filings here. So I was only responding to him. And that's how everybody thinks I filed for divorce, which I never would have. I never would have left him, which in hindsight I should have, but I wouldn't have.
That's crazy that Ralphie would file for divorce. That messed up. Man, when I was fucking coked out, dude, for 3 days, I bought a fucking stolen car from somebody. But I didn't even know.
He didn't even think it might be.
I didn't even think about it. I just thought it was a good deal, right?
Then, oh, my God.
So then I filled out the paperwork, and I said, yeah, I'll give you the money later. But then I passed out, and then if he wanted the money, he was threatening me. And I said, listen, man, you got to do all that. You know, we made a deal. I signed the paperwork. I'm going to give you the money. He goes, don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh.
He goes, it's you know. But in my head, I'm thinking, you know, my negligence, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight this guy or, you know, or whatever it is, you know. It's a mistake, you know. But I give him the money. But the car was straight up stolen, dude.
You didn't know for sure. Yeah. But when you told me you bought a car for $500 cash the night before and you had the title, I was like,
title?
Yeah,
they had the title, but it was this Chinese man's name. Sold it to you was not Chinese.
But he had the title. He stole the car with the title.
Might have had his title in the car. Some people do that.
Yeah, some people do that. Yeah.
He's an old Chinese immigrant.
Yeah, well, you know those Buddhist temple that's over where his old...
First?
No, on Boylston and like Temple. There's a Buddhist temple right there. Yeah. Big Buddhist house. Well, right up the street is where this guy lived, and he might have been one of those guys and just didn't really realize he's got to protect himself.
The car had the keys and everything.
He had everything.
Those guys are very trustworthy of each other.
He was all Buddhist about it, and now he's got to fight to get his car back.
When you're not in your right state of mind, they sell you something like that, the contract could be void under unconscious.
But it wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
It was some Latino guy. It was some guy you were partying with, wasn't it?
Crazy cholo.
Yeah.
It was like $500 that you're never going to see again.
Yeah. So when he told me that, I was just like, look, you lost $500, but you got to take this car back. This is hot. So we, because it had his name on it and like nothing else and no other information. And then we found his registration, I think. And then we just ended up dropping the car off.
The car off back
in front of his house. Lost everything in
there. That is so Buddhist of him. He was like, it's just going to come back to me.
I got the good karma.
That's so funny.
Getting scandalous selling stolen cars.
So whacked out that you can do the craziest things.
But I'm stupid.
Yeah, you're not in your right state of mind.
No, like that.
And then later on, I said, I'm sure, just... So go fuck up this dude. I said, nah.
For what? Then that more problems.
I think a week later, that fool got he went to jail for 5 years for assaulting somebody.
Oh. See you later, dog.
Later, dog.
Yeah, but that's crazy that you were like.
Ralph Emer was not all there, right? When all that's going on.
No. I mean, he wasn't. But here's what's so crazy about all of this: it's all on. Not all of it, but a lot of it was recorded on camera. Because
you guys were doing a reality show?
No, we had started a documentary. So 9 months prior, almost a year prior, Rafi had wanted to get lap band surgery. And I was dead against it because he'd already had two stomach surgeries. He'd had a stapling before I met him. And then after Last Comic, he got gastric bypass. So when I met him, you guys remember, he was 800 pounds.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And then he got down. When we got married, he was about 430. And it was looking like he was
going to lose. He was good on your engagement party.
He was great.
Was that 380?
No, he was probably 450, 430, somewhere in there, because he had done the gastric bypass. And
he was standing. He was good.
He was doing good. And that's why I never didn't believe in Rafi's ability to overcome his issues with – but it's all substance abuse, whether it's food. It just switches to different things in your – that's addiction, right? So, like, anyways – so when he said he wanted to do the lap band, I told him at that time, I said, I don't think you're going to be alive in 2 years if we don't do something drastic. So I'm like, we could put duct tape or we could continue to cut your tummy up. And he wanted to do the lap band. So in starting that, I got my friend, do you know Kat Reinhart? So she was...
She did a podcast with you for a while, right?
She's amazing.
She was the one who followed him around, right?
She was the one documenting him.
Yeah, because I saw he walked in with her.
She's like a little punk girl.
We're doing Skylar Stone show one time, and it was
at the Comedy Store.
I was trying to throw a name, but there was a lot of comedians there. And
that's the last time we saw Ralph.
That's the last time we saw him. Mm-hmm. He came in, and we were all hanging out in the green room. And Joy was there, and Ralphie May went up, and then he took off
from the store. That might have been
and she was shooting everything.
Yeah.
So that's one of the last times
she was
filming
a little bit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. So you guys know. So Kat was filming this like 9 month window, and what happened during that 9 months was I kind of started to realize that things were never going to change. He didn't qualify for the lap band, and he was supposed. And I was kind of happy when he didn't qualify for it because I was like, great, now you get to do it on your own. The camera's on him. The pressure's there. We're going to get this weight off you finally, and you're going to be okay.
What made him a bad candidate for it?
He'd had two surgeries.
His other health problems.
No, he'd had two surgeries. And I mean,
too much cut up?
I don't know. I just don't think, you know, it's not, I don't care how much you whittle away at somebody's stomach. It's not going to be successful. So you can't.
Because the real problem is it keeps coming back, though, because of his other issues.
It's a mental issue at this point. It's not the tummy that, I mean, the gastric bypass restricted his appetite or whatever, his ability to eat enough. But even with that, when he passed, he was 590 pounds. So he plumed at the end of his life over 100 pounds once I was out of his life. So, yeah, but yeah, we documented it, which is crazy. So I'm in it. I did not edit it. I did not shoot it. Kat is responsible for everything. And because I'm a subject, so I can't, it would be irresponsible for me to say I don't like this or I don't like that. Yeah. So it's a really very neutral presentation of what happened during that time period. And the second part about that is that she also shot a lot of his stand-up. So she has this hour and a half movie documenting that year, which is so sad. Funny moments, but really sad and beautiful. And then all the stand-up that we couldn't – because you can only sprinkle a little bit of his stand-up in the documentary is what we're doing this Indiegogo for. It's to try and raise the funds to put together his last one-hour special utilizing all the stand-up that didn't get used in the documentary. So that's kind of where I've been doing the last month is trying to raise more funds for the Indiegogo because everyone's like, Yolanda, you're rich. No, he didn't leave – I'm rich broke. Because I live in the, I live in my house still.
Cash broke.
I live in my cash house. Broke. I've been able to keep the house, and I'm. But the kids.
Yeah, that one house here in LA, right?
I've kept that. I'm able so far. Knock on wood. There was $288.22 in his personal account when he died. That's it. Yeah.
Did he have a corporation, or did he? Was he just working by himself?
He had a corporation that had a little bit of money left in it. Not much, but that goes into probate. Mm-hmm. And his manager, the guy that I was saying, has sued the estate 3 times. So that's cost a lot of money in probate court because he keeps suing me. And he keeps, like, making it really difficult to, like, let this man pass.
And he was his manager for how long?
From the time Ralphie left me, so less than 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's lovely. And so... Yeah, we're just – but anyway, that's all negative. I don't focus on the negative because there's so many positive things to come out of, like, okay, obviously the worst possible thing of all is Ralphie, and I can't
– Ralphie was on tour, right, when he passed?
He wouldn't stop. He was constantly working.
Hell yeah.
They worked him
– He was doing
to,
a Vegas.
Because I know that in the last 2 years, he was constantly in that damn bus. Yeah, huh? Even Joe Diaz told him, man, you got to slow down, right?
Every weekend.
Yeah, he wouldn't
Joe say?
Bro, you got to slow down, bro.
Yeah. He Same couldn't – He could, you know what, though? I saw, because, you know, when he passed, I got his emails and everything. There was an email from him begging, like, he was like, I need to quit the casino. I need to have a break to that dude that I was telling about. I just don't like this. I'm trying to forgive him, too, and think that he's a sick man as well. He's very sick. But he's like, slow your roll, big boy. That's his answer. Like, here's Ralphie, who's, like, literally dying.
He had a residency, right, in the end?
Well, yeah, but Ralphie had another residency offer for South Point. When Ralph and I were still together, I was like, this is the most amazing thing. He could have done just a few dates at South Point. And for the – because South Point's, you guys know, 1,200 seats South Point, right? Mm-hmm. Harrah's 540 seats, I think. He had to work twice as much to do – and then South Point draws in Vegas to the local community. Harrah's has to compete with everything else on the set, for on tourists, the strip. Yeah. So, like, they just basically made him work 5 times as hard for the same money. It was crazy. I was like, but I wasn't involved in that. I was already out. And he and I weren't even talking at the end. He was so mad at me because, I don't know, you leave me. He said things like, I don't know. These are the negative things because he would say I kept him from the kids or whatever. And I never did. Never, never, never did. Like, how could you keep a man from his – I don't know how you keep somebody from their kids. Like it.
When did Ralphie start taking the oxy?
After the pulmonary embolisms. But it wasn't just oxy. I mean, it was Xanax, Percocet.
Because I know, like, there were times when I would think, man, he must be on something to be on Twitter this late in the morning and arguing for 8 hours.
Yeah, on Twitter, just arguing.
8 hours straight with one person, you know. Yeah. Even me, as coked out as I was, I would, like, you know, I want to say, fuck this guy. I want to not focus so much on this person.
Just unfollow.
Unfollow.
Yeah. Block
that fool.
Yeah, that's what I do. If somebody sends me something negative, just block it out of my life. No, he was. And
no need for that.
Rafi's so
sick. Sometimes I say, man, let me tell you, man, I'm over here, man. I'll go fuck him up for you. Like, not funny. Yeah, we're going to call the cops.
Yeah, no, man. Like, it's true. He was so such a sweetheart. So to see him oftentimes, like, kind of just implode on Twitter publicly. And again, there was only so much that I couldn't do anything at the end. I have done a lot of work on me because I think that's all I can do. I'm like was super codependent. I still am. Like I have
Lisa
really bad.
She was.
You are?
Well, when Felipe was going through his addiction, it was
you're a codependent.
It was tough.
It's all a cycle, right?
Yeah,
it's
but
all...
what you said too is really what you have to keep remembering. What you said earlier when you said that. He was becoming a different Ralphie, not the Ralphie that he really was, you know, the sweet, dear Ralphie. You know, he was becoming something else. And you do become this other person.
There you go.
Well, but for a while. But you have to make that distinction as a person who loves an addicted person. You have to separate in your mind. This is the addict, and this is the person I love, because otherwise you're constantly trying to save that addict because you think he's going to wise up and realize how much his family loves him, how much his kids mean to him, how much this is really what he needs to get back to. He won't ever realize that once, you know, with that other, with the addiction going strong. You'll never realize that. You don't give a fuck about anything else.
Oh, hell no.
Nothing else. And I know that. And it took me a long time to realize that. You are two different people. It's like it's Jekyll and Hyde. It really is, and it's hard to go through. But you know that, and that's why I said I don't ever want to see that person again. You know, because that person has no part in this relationship, and if it comes up again, I have to go.
You have to leave it
because
you got to protect you.
Yeah, because you keep thinking that other person's in there, and I know he's in there, but he's not paying attention right now. You know, like when you're loaded, but it is a completely different person.
You know. Also, you can tell me about this because his anger deflected back on to me,
yeah.
Like as if I almost felt like if for 1 minute, during any point during the years that your 2 year window that followed, if he'd have taken 1 ounce of personal responsibility about anything, whatever it was, it could have snowballed into a sobriety. But it never
happens. Addicts just don't do that. If the urge is going strong, there's no personal responsibility. There's no, I'm sorry for this, I feel bad about this, until all the drugs are out. Wow. Right?
Oh.
Right. Your system has to be clean to start to realize all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because otherwise your brain is still seeking out that high, and that's all you care about.
When you're spiraling, do you feel like there's other people that come into your life and around that support that, right? Like when you've been in the dark spots, do you remember like some of the people that were there for you during those times that weren't like? Are you able to decipher between like somebody who's really there for you and somebody who isn't?
Well,
people
who are for me are my enemies when I'm like that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Has a whole separate. The thing is with Felipe, he compartmentalizes that. So those people he parties with.
Uh-huh.
During his binges, and he hasn't had a binge for, it's been 9 years now.
Oh, wow.
The people he parties with during those binges, he doesn't want to see their face when he's sober.
What is it like when you see somebody from that?
My stomach hurts.
Because you know.
But you're just paying for the parties, though.
He won't hang out. People think, I'll get close to him, we can hang out and party and all this stuff. After that, when he gets clean, he doesn't want to hear your voice, hear your name. You don't want to see your face.
It's like seeing Jack in the Box in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Like,
reminds you of your scandalous.
Like, Jack in the Box is cool at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, Jack in the Box is cool. White Castle is cool at 3 in the morning. But at noon, come and eat that fucking
I don't want to shit gross. Myself. I'm driving past.
But he
fuck chicken steak.
But Felipe constantly, because addicts are also manipulative. And they say, okay, I know these people will always lead me down to find the drugs if I need it. I know this person. I'm not going to call this person ever again.
But he's ready.
But I'm sober, but he's always ready. He's on deck if I need it.
If I need the stuff.
Which even out of town, you can pick the person who you can get.
I'm pretty sure
with.
If you go through photos of me back in the days, I'm pretty sure like a person who knows that I'm a drug addict will pick out the person that I party with by the photos.
Oh yeah.
Okay, this guy, I can see this it guy now. Who's never this guy that was never there, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the right. guy in the background. He was holding. He was the guy taking the photos.
The one wearing the Michelin Man coat. He won't take his coat off.
The guy that dressed up wearing a Donnie Brasco.
Dude, that one dude that you were hanging out with was living in front of that ugly ass fool dog that had those holes in his face, dog. Uh-huh. Looked like a fucking reptile dog.
He was a reptilian, bro.
But he's so sick too, right? Like so sick. So it's amazing though. 9 years. Like it's so hard for. I tried Al-Anon for a little while. I should go back. But, like, I learned that it's, like, maybe 1 in 7 gets sober. It's really, really hard.
And so also those NA and AA and those things, they have a really low track record.
Oh, is
like,
that right?
AA is, like, 25% success rate.
That's about Mark?
That's not yeah. good.
That's a 75% failure
that's
rate.
That's the thing. Mark? Maybe there's just not that much success in the disease.
I just think, in general, the person has to be ready.
Yeah, the disease is so progressed. I couldn't do Al-Anon. I tried, but where it loses me is when they ask for the higher power. I just have never been able to find any higher power that I can – I try.
My higher power is the medium.
My higher power.
For
would,
some people, that's true.
Yeah.
I think you
that's
could
what
just,
I took it from.
Yeah, they
you have
it.
To do that by yourself,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
It's no program. It's you.
Man. It's my you higher wanting power, to. Yeah, brother. Because we spent.
Cold turkey, dude.
There was like this 3 month window where I'd gotten him into rehab, and I would have done anything to get him sober during, I mean, at any point in our marriage, but that was an $80,000 3 month stint in rehab.
Three months,
to keep him $80,000 in one of these posh Malibu.
If I had that much, I would have fucking, I would have kept partying.
Yes. Trust me. I wish I had that money now. No, I mean.
$80,000 for a 3 day rehab? Fuck this. Give me the money. I'll kill myself.
Seriously. It was crazy.
Another fucking sham. Man.
Because what are you going to do? Like, I had to. I was like, I'm going to force him to do this. And of course, and then he's staying out in this like sweet house pad in Malibu. And I'm like, you're having a vacation and I'm like going crazy.
Oh, you have paid for it? Yeah, went to that one?
He went to one of those. One of those,
yeah. He was there with Trump Jr.
Yeah. And that doesn't work.
Or Andy
Dick. It does
not
work.
He was there for 3 days?
Three months.
No, he went to a month in Malibu and then like another 2 months at this food and fitness rehab facility in Tennessee. And
they
it
were
was
Lindsay Lohan or something, huh?
Victory Outreach. They say Victory Outreach, huh?
Oh, no.
This ain't no Victory Outreach.
This is like, dude.
Man, this is a way somebody is saying, you know what? I'm going to make a rehab and rob rich people.
Yeah. That's
exactly.
Hollywood stars.
You know what it is, though? It's
their treatment can't be the same as the treatment I got, man.
No. The only treatment that works is like hitting
jacuzzis.
Bottom. No, it's like sucking a dick in Skid Row. That's rehab.
Falling down, and having your whole family shit on you. It's the best rehab.
Yeah,
good intervention.
Yeah. Everybody leaves your ass, but when you have money,
man,
nobody's leaving you.
If I had 80 G's to go to rehab, bro, I ain't going to no rehab, bro.
No,
we're gonna fucking spend it all in one day.
Yeah. About 3 weeks.
Yeah. No, yeah. it was a good time, probably.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And at 80. $1,000 for 3 months, bro, you have enough money for someone to sneak you in pills.
Yes.
The employees, you could buy off the employees
for
pills.
It doesn't work. But the thing is you were saying about them, they're preying on the families.
Oh, totally.
Because I think it's at all levels of people's amount to be able
and
to pay.
And their insurance, too.
Yeah, for them to say that they're going there.
So
and we're
the families,
care of
like there was one family there that their son was there, and I don't think they were a super rich family, but they would pay any. And if,
for
me, too. If my child, I am going to take whatever measures I can. I would sell my house to get my kid sober and right with. And you don't understand the kids sitting there going, as soon as I get out of here, it's back on. And the family's desperate. They lose everything.
Families are desperate, man. Like especially when you quit doing anything, like anything that you're into that's not into drugs, your family will be supportive. Like you come out, oh, he's into finish. Let's get some fishing poles or whatever, man. I read a sad story, man. Like Chief Daryl Gates, his fucking son was a fucking crackhead, dog. A fucking crackhead. That's why he came out and said that. Weekend partiers should go to prison because they're the ones that get people like my son and people like me addicted because we want to party all week. These guys only party Saturdays.
Yeah,
fuck
they go
that.
Back to work on Monday, dog.
So he said that weekend partiers should get more time than people who are addicted. He said his son will
That's
come out.
That's weird. I never heard him say that. That's a weird thing
yeah, he said that,
to make. That's crazy.
Yes, he's crazy. He was crazy.
He was a little crazy, man.
Because his son made that decision.
Yeah,
to go.
Yeah, but you know you got to stay there for
the
son.
I know.
Yeah,
so
the
did that guy from the In the Heat of the Night. He said that too.
man.
Oh, yeah.
Archie Bunker said that.
Yeah, he got his son arrested. And so did Michael. No, Martin Sheen got Charlie Sheen arrested. That was the time he got clean. He got him out. He got him clean because he went to jail.
Michael Douglas' son got busted for stealing and being all on drugs.
He's been
in
bad trouble, man. It's
interesting. Like, I feel like everyone in our business, we're so susceptible to it because, like you're saying, our schedule and everything's accessible. Like, when I get to go on the road now, when I go, I'm like, people put joints in my pocket. Like, all kinds of things are happening. I can get laid. Like, and it's not like it was before. I mean, I was going on the road with dragging my kids across the country, and now I'm like, I have no kids, I have no responsibility, and I'm just like,
And DJs, none of these doormans, none of the fucking security guards, these clubs are discreet. They stay discreet. They're not. As soon as you buy weed, oh, you want weed? Because the last guy wanted coke, and he gives the name.
Yeah.
They give you the name.
Yeah.
They give you the fucking name of the last person. Like, you never asked for the name. You didn't give a fuck about who bought coke off you, but they give you the name. Like, you never asked.
They don't even need the WD
for you. Sure, man. Rodrigo wanted diet pills.
Yeah, we find out everything about each other.
They tell you everything. These guys don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
How
could the last guy, bro, he got crazy, Felipe.
How crazy?
Stop calling me. My phone was hot, like a money counter.
Can't trust anybody, dude.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of idle time, though, too. Uh-huh. When there's nothing to do and you're stuck in Jacksonville, Florida all week. And
you're kind of like a rock star for a week in Jacksonville.
But with all this downtime, like you perform.
You can only eat so many pizza rolls.
All you need is a good bed and some good pillows, though.
Of course. There's lots to do. Know, but
what if there's no – you could argue with the front desk when I have a good AC.
It's lots to do, but if that's your grind and been your grind for years, it's so easy to go, you know, I'm just going to distract my mind with a few pills.
There's always someone in the club that looks like
you're trying to get the documentary done?
Well, the documentary is mostly done. It's going to go through one more phase of editing.
You own all the footage or somebody holds the footage?
I own all the footage.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, although it was reported in this tabloid, The Blast, about 2 weeks ago, that the footage is all gone.
Yeah, I was reading that.
Did you see that?
But it was after you already said you had the footage. And I was like, wait, she just told me she had the footage.
Isn't
I wonder what this is. I thought it was new.
News.
I think it's news.
I thought it was all new.
Zay News.
I think it's the manager. Well, because that was a court date. I think it was the manager because he had an additional copy of the hard drives, which he believed were the only copy. So he refused to return them to the state and claimed he lost them. So,
because I was thinking any filmmaker would have always had backup.
Between you and I, whoever listens to the podcast, you know, I might not get booked to it again. It's all right. But we were there hanging out at that club over there, right, in Nashville. Uh-huh. And they were all crying, right? They were all crying. We're not going to say no names. Yeah, man, she was trying to keep the dog. I want to open my mouth and go and say, what the fuck do you care? You're not married to this person. You owe nothing. No, there's no bloodlines for you. Stop fucking whining and crying.
The doggy?
Yeah, we were in Zanesville, Nashville, and they were all there.
They're all mad at me.
They're all crying. She was trying to keep the dog. Like, who deserves a fucking dog?
My children
fucking
actually
cry won. Babies, huh, bro?
Everybody owns a stake in his life, dude.
You were there, right? Fucking cry baby,
right? There,
I got my juice and I got my weed from them and I took off. But I want to hear a bunch of whiners here crying.
Aw, the dog was really sweet. My kids wanted the dog, but I gave it to the guys who there's an organization. They're like Big Paws that did all the. They got the dogs licensed to be service animals. Mm-hmm. These guys, when I went to Nashville the first time, one of them showed up at my house and stayed with me for 2 nights, helped me clean out the storage unit, helped me do like so much stuff, helped me break open, like our safe had run out of batteries, like he jackhammered. Like this guy was like, he was like a god showing up to help me. And then a few months later, another guy from the same organization flew to Nashville. Keep in mind, I had no money. I gave him my last $1,000 cash, rented a Penske truck, and this guy drove the truck for me. He helped pack it up, drove it across the country, and helped me unpack it when it came to LA with the stuff we wanted to keep from the house. Those are the guys that got the dog, and that dog is a service animal. What these dumbasses in Nashville that helped Ralphie get his drugs want the dog, and they're crying. The dog doesn't belong to them, and it shouldn't. That's so funny. They're so mad.
Drug dealers always feel entitled to stuff, huh?
Yeah.
For real, man, anybody who partied with you feel entitled. Like, even like shh, after your last comment standing, no phone calls, eh? You know why? Because I sobered up, dick. I don't need your fucking stepped on coke no more.
Everybody wants a little peace, man.
I tell you what, if you die before me, then none of these assholes come to your funeral. I'll have people at the door. I'll have pictures. No,
what if you die before me?
That's on you then. I'm just saying, if you die before me, that's what I ain't gonna let any of those assholes in.
If you die before me, I'm gonna have that lady, Miss White Funky Fest, sing.
Please do at my funeral.
Can you work it?
Please do. I would be honored for that.
In the moo moo, eating a corn.
I want people to have fun at my funeral, me too, but man. I don't want assholes there.
I want people to have a
duel. You got a lot of people in your past that I want to beat up.
Well, you're trying to figure out. I want someone to die in a duel at my fight, my funeral.
Well, maybe I'll duel.
And then the winner will keep something.
Who would it be?
The winner. They're just looking for your ashes because might be some drugs in there.
Yeah, they might want to snort your ashes.
When Ralphie passed away, and then you're going through a divorce, so much bad stuff was written about you. I remember I read one, and I said. Paid.
Oh my god!
What?
You were going through a divorce, and then Ralphie passed away, and then I guess one of the people in the bottom probably one of Ralphie's drug dealers.
Oh, on the bottom of the thing.
Probably one of Ralphie's drug dealers.
Wrote that I got paid.
She goes, she got everything.
Well, some people.
You know what? I would have liked him to live and had child support and spousal support. That would have been the better route for as far as the divorce.
A little catch with the kids.
You know. I don't understand why anybody – look, I was with him for 17 years. The last couple of years of his life, he was really sick, and we all know how it ended. So anybody who says that, I recognize that they're sick. And some of those guys – oh, my God. The guy where Ralphie died at his house, he tried to keep his car.
Oh, wow.
Like crazy stuff.
Fucking opener, man.
Yeah. But he kept his car. I had to fly to
Vegas. He helped a lot of people out too, though.
Ralphie helped everyone.
I met people that come up to me and go, you know, Ralphie may really help me. His nephew, bro. The guy that works for the news
in
somewhere.
In Chicago, I think.
In Chicago. There was a guy, he came out and he said that, yeah, man, my Ralphie May is my uncle.
Oh, no, it was down in the south. It was the college you did.
I did a college in
Alabama?
No, it was Arkansas? In Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah, Arkansas.
It was a kid there. Uh-huh. And then Ralphie, he said that Ralphie May helped him a lot. And then met another guy that said, like, yeah. And then, like, I mean, waiters. He goes, listen, man, Ralphie May was the only guy that gave me cash. He goes, none of these fucking waiters, none of these comments ever tipped me. So you and then start naming you, Joe, and Ralphie are the only one that took care of me.
Not from Ralphie's that to giving, generous. Like, comedians.
Ralphie May was kind of, too, in a way, like, too generous. Because, like, if an opener was, like, if an opener would start giving him a sad story, there's a lot of these fucking assholes. Ralphie May will give him a little extra and shit for doing nothing.
Yeah, but, no, he was really
like the Smash Brothers.
So, dude, that's so funny. I
bought them teeth.
Yeah,
you know,
they were carnival workers before me.
He took care of everyone. But like.
People took advantage of Ralphie, bro. But in the end,
the generosity. You see it with a lot
not
of
me,
comments.
But a lot of comments. No, like even Gabriel.
They find out that this guy, he gave me $1,000. Oh, he gave me $500. So they'll go up to somebody with a sad story, and then, oh, dude, here you go. This is all I got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like you have that disposable cash. So it's like, you know, just a couple licks, whatever. It's not going to bug, but. People take advantage.
Yo, so much. You know what? Here's the crazy thing. Creepy, all of those.
Ralphie just put fat joys in my pocket at the airport, bro.
Yeah,
he did.
But you know what's like? I witnessed it. It's so rude because.
It
like,
is rude.
But not only that, but like for 17 years of him doing that, he and I were together. Like if we go out to dinner, it's a very sexist world. If you go out to dinner together and somebody puts a check down and he takes the check, I was like, thanks, Ralphie. But the truth is Ralphie, we worked together for years. So like I always, whatever. But as soon as shit hit the fan, all those people, Smash Brothers, Chad came to me crying. He was literally bawling. You know, big ass Chad with the bald head, like intimidating motherfucker. He's crying. And he says, I'm living in a shack behind my uncle's
the
house.
Shack Brothers.
The Shack Brothers.
Isn't his dad like a hardcore contractor that makes a lot of money?
He was, I don't know. But this was his story, was that he was living in a shack and he was crying because he had just split up with his wife and he needed work desperately. And I said, look, I'll get you out on the road with Ralph, but there's two of you, so it's going to cost like a lot more. So it's just going to be the feature money for the two of you, and you'll have to share a hotel room. Can you deal with that? And he was like, yes, 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 thank you, thank you, thank you. He's like wiping tears away. And then now I got him the gig. And then when things went bad, he was literally hashtagging horrible stuff about me online. And I'm like, Chad, you know, I was friends with you. I had them to my house. Like, I never did one thing to any of them ever. Not one of them. And Gabe in Vegas, when Ralph died, I call him. I'm like, I hadn't talked to him in 3 years. Because, you know, when divorces happen, people split up. And friends go with friends. But then
they go with the cash.
They go with the cash. But I figured things would settle, right? I figured eventually it would all simmer down and then we'll all be friends again. Because that's what happens. Bad blood eventually goes good again, right? So I'm not going to – Ralph can have them for now and we'll worry about it later. But when he passed, I called up Gabe and I was like, well, you got to live my nightmare, because I always thought it would be me to find him. And I'm so sorry for you. That really sucks. And then we got into conversating and I said, look, the memorial is going to be on this particular day. And when you come out, just what did he like? I'm assuming he had a suitcase or whatever. I'm sure you want to get that out of your house. So just.
This is the guy he stayed with?
Yeah. This is sad. And I was like, whatever you want. Like. Who wants to – if somebody died in my house, I'd be like, take this shit, get out of here. You go. So the memorial – and right before the memorial, then I called him again. I said, listen, this might not seem important to you, but if there's like his cologne or something like that is in the bathroom, make sure to keep that because August wants his daddy's smell. So he shows up at the memorial with a baggie and he hands me the cologne. I was like, oh, my God, thank you so much for remembering. That means so much to me. I guess the suitcase is in your car. We can transfer it. And he goes, no, I didn't bring it. And I was like – oh, okay. Don't worry about it.
This is Ralphie May's suitcase?
His suitcase. I go, don't worry about
this
it.
This is the guy whose house he died in.
And don't worry about it. I'll get it from you whenever the time is right. It's cool. Like, this isn't my concern. The next day I fly to Nashville and I get off the airplane, get to my house, and I look for the car. And I'm like, where's the car? Because it was a Denali. It was our tour vehicle. No, I can't find it. I call the lot where the bus used to be and I was like, do you have my car? No. And I can't find it. And I'm calling, calling, calling. I get a tip off from somebody that it's at Gabe's house. And so I start texting Gabe and he won't get back to me. And so then I call my attorney. I'm like, I think my car is at this man's house. So then my attorney calls another attorney who calls Gabe. All of a sudden Gabe texts me. Yeah, I do have the car. So I call him. I said, I need the car because my car that I was driving in L.A. was the only thing that wasn't locked in probate. I had zero cash. I had to sell my vehicle. So I had enough money to buy groceries, literally no money. And I need that car so that I have something to get around town in. When are you going to bring it out? Because Rafi's brother flew to Vegas to pick up his ashes with his nephew and his stepsister. Any one of them could have driven it out. You could have driven it out. I need the car. And he goes, well, this was back in October, maybe the end of November, December. And I'm like, fucker, you're not going to give me back my car. Like, you were stealing my – like, this is crazy. So that weekend, I flew home, got on an airplane. I put the kids in sleepover, woke up at like 4 a.m. the next morning. Flew to Vegas. Four police officers met me in a gas station, escorted me to his house. They knock on his door with their stick, and he doesn't come to the door. So I have the extra set of keys. I put on the car alarm in the garage. He turns off the car alarm. They're knocking. I turn on the car alarm. He turns off the car alarm. The third time he comes down, and he gives me the car and the suitcase, and I drive back home through the desert.
Fuck these dudes up.
This is where he died. God. This is one of his friends. And you know what? I don't have.
I knew why that piece of shit never booked me to go to that show, bro.
Wait, he's the guy that booked that show?
Yeah. The Dirty.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Gabe Velasquez, whatever his name is.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, I mean, The Dirty Show, which I don't. I mean, look, here's the thing. Gabe and I were friends. Like, I have no gripe with Gabe. Look, he's a mold inspector. This was his greatest moment in comedy.
Mold inspector.
I think so. I think that's his day gig. I don't think it's a problem.
How can mold inspect mold?
The thing, guys, I honestly wish him I've been in a lot of therapy, so I wish him the best.
I've never met the guy.
I wish him the best.
We don't know
but
once.
You know what? Look, here's the thing. That was his greatest moment in life, right? His comedy, like, was opening for Ralph. He got to do things that he never would have gotten to do if it wasn't for Ralphie. Wear suits and get on stage. But, like, come on. You don't do that. Like, no matter how bad you think I am as a human being, I'm still a single mother. Right there, I'm a single mother with two young kids. Ralphie just passed away. Give me back my fucking car. Like, what are you going to do? Strip it? You don't have the title. Like, oh, I guess he'd sell it for $500 to SoCo
Cafe. He sold it to me.
Yeah.
Wow,
And Buddhistly wait for
it. Did they mold or monk?
That's crazy, man. You know, people on the outside, though, they always think they know. Like, I'd seen comments that, you know, gold digger, all this stuff. Who gold digs after 17 years? That, like, people say that about me when you would post pictures of us on your Facebook usually because they just didn't know who I was. And they would think that I'm only with you for the money. Like, they didn't realize I was with you when you,
for
you
the
know,
grilled cheeses.
When you had the grilled cheeses when you had nothing. When we had roaches all in your cabinets and everything.
Yeah,
and, like,
roaches.
You know, you took my last $10 of gas money for drugs. And whatnot. Like, those things, like, yeah. Those little things,
yeah,
you
gold,
know?
Gold
like,
diggers don't stick around.
We don't, those gold diggers don't stick around. But I would, you still get that. That phrase thrown
I
at you.
I get it all the
Where'd
time.
You go get the car?
It's so rude.
Where'd you go get the car?
It's because with social media people, man, like fucking act like they own a stake. And that's
they own
form,
a piece of you.
Another form
they
of entitlement.
Man. Well, hey, man, but these, I'm not saying like these guys, but hey, they were all getting fat, bro.
Oh, fool.
They were getting fed, right?
Oh,
all
dude.
Of a sudden, bro, their milk is gone.
Oh, dude.
They're running around like little babies.
They straight yanked that shit, dog. They're like, what the fuck?
A piece of us lost, too, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa,
they want
relax.
A little piece. I can't believe they kept this car.
Kill yourself,
Can we have a little wait for my wallet?
How about all the tribute shows that happened after
oh
that?
Oh, my God. There was one in the South. There was
really?
One.
No, the one in Nashville. Oh, my God. The one in Nashville. So they're the Nashville
Those are who's
people.
Who.
So I had to go to court that week in Nashville. They ran two tribute shows to Ralphie while they simultaneously are suing the estate. I had to go to court that week in Nashville while they were making money off of Ralphie. So basically, they're suing Ralphie
for the comedy
while they're using
show?
His
yeah.
no- name.
Why were they suing him?
It's like the it's probate. It's this like so. If you go back,
did
and
he
you,
owe them or something?
No, I don't look. There's still one more case pending, and no, because no.
He passed an intestate.
Do you think
without
Ralphie
a
but they're saying that he owed them something?
I see. I'm trying. Okay, so
or
like
future
that's
dates
gonna take
or something.
Some, okay, no. So the manager's claiming that he's owed back commissions. He also claimed that he'd never gotten paid, which is bullshit because I found checks that he'd gotten paid. But he's claiming back commissions. But Ralphie had a different corporation, so the corporation that he had, that's there's
didn't
no money
him,
in the corporation.
Yeah.
So even if it's justified, but here's the thing: Ralphie's dead. You're still suing Ralphie. Like, and you're suing Ralphie's children. So, and then you're throwing a, so even if it is justified, which I don't think it is. Okay. But even if it is, you're suing him while running a tribute show with his name, making money off of him, and he's dead while his children are still alive. It's just like, it blows my mind. Like, if it's me, it doesn't matter if it was $10, $1,000, $50,000. I don't want any part of this. You go about your life and we had a good run. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's not worth it. There's not enough money in the world that would make it worth it for me to sue somebody who's dead.
Yeah, that's weird.
It sucks. That's my thoughts on it. But you're thinking about how much money it'd be worth to sue somebody who's dead. How much money?
They won it all, huh?
I don't know. It's been a crazy ride. It's been really interesting. I've learned a lot, and I try and stay.
We learned
like,
a lot in the last hour.
Well, it's kind of been interesting because
the
documentary, like anybody who thought that I didn't have Ralphie's best intentions at heart, I was so adamant that he get sober, and that's so obvious in this project. So, and the 1 hour special is such a gift for Ralphie because he was so goddamn talented and funny, and I want him to have one more special. Plus, it helps keep the kids in their home and in their school. So.
Cool. I remember, man, like I was there like, what was it, 4 years ago, five, before I got married, and I did your 10 podcast, right?
Perfect yeah. 10. Yeah.
We're still running that.
The
I'm still
10.
Keeping it going. You'll come back.
And then you and I, we were talking, that's when you first told me, I didn't even know that you and I were talking in the parking lot about Ralphie, right?
After the show was over.
We had
recorded,
a one-on-one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you really broke down. I never told anybody that conversation. I mean, I told Lisa. When Ralphie
I think I cried.
Away. You did.
Yeah.
And you were very sad. I remember, like, I wish I could have done something, you know, but there's nothing you could do,
nothing.
You know. And you had told me, you know, that it was sad because he's abusing those pills, chewing on them, and I'm all the time fighting on the internet. And then and
but was, she was saying also that he was there in the house,
but
not there.
Yeah, he was there, but
like
not there.
Like, he was just so removed from everybody.
He would come from, like, being on the road about 16 weeks and then, like, be at home on the couch.
But not really interacting with
yeah.
people.
Like, yeah, I mean, to be his size alone, never mind the prescriptions and other substances, just to be physically that size, to try and move that weight
That's
around.
Hard every day.
Oh, my God. Everything
He
hurts.
Fell once, Rodrigo, right?
He fell all the time.
Lord, you say he fell once. There was a one time, I don't know if this really happened, but I don't know if Rodrigo told me the story, but somebody said that somebody gave or maybe there was it was a lie someone made up to cover up the Oxy story. He said that somebody showed up and gave Ralphie May this humongous chuba chew.
Well, that was the whole thing.
A big loaf.
In Denver that he ate, and you know, he was all messed up from that. But you know,
I don't think it was the pot.
Because he had to go half a loaf, and the next day he fell on stage. No, the same night.
I wasn't with him there, but that was when things were pretty rough. But he definitely, I don't know what was in his bloodstream, but I mean, I'm. Can't imagine it was just cheap, but that cheap, those are strong too.
Fuck yeah,
yeah. But
he had like a big one though, like a giant side at the side of the bottle of water.
I'm sure. Yeah, he was messed up, and yeah, like there was, it's just sad. Yeah, he used to get stuff from everybody. There was one guy. It's interesting. There was this one guy, Nick. You can go on his Facebook page. This guy Nick came at me on Ralphie's Facebook page. Because when I'd launched, so there's been a couple of people who, the gold digger people or the people who are mad at me, blame me for his passing right now until they realize that's bullshit. But anyways, he wrote me a message on Ralphie's wall that like commenting that wasn't very nice. And I just took the high road and I just said, Nick, I hope you like the special when it comes out, that kind of thing. But this is the same man that was friends with Ralphie who had sent a bottle of pills through the mail to him. And I only know that because there was a package that came, and I didn't know what it was. But, somebody opens a package, and they hear the rubbish and the trash. And then Ralph flew to Tennessee the next day. When the assistant came and picked him up, he drove him directly to the hospital because he couldn't stand up. He was, like, falling over. And we tried to figure out what was in his system, so I dug through the trash and then located the same guy. And I found him and called him and said, what was in there? And he said it was oxycodone and some other stuff. And so that's the same person who's attacking me on Facebook for trying to launch an Indiegogo campaign to create his one-hour special. And I didn't write him back on Facebook because I feel like Facebook, he probably has friends, family, his work or whatever. But it took me all the control in the world not to go, do you remember the time you shipped him oxycodone in the mail? Maybe you shouldn't be coming after me.
So, right, put him on blast.
Like so I guess I'm kind of blasting him on this here right now, but it takes a lot of work to figure out.
Drug dealers always see through your friends, though.
Oh, dude, it's fucking enablers, though.
Yeah.
So me, like, drug dealers are the mechanic, bro. I'm not going to invite you for a party because you're always dirty. You were trying to get one on me, dog.
Well, that one kid who you partied with for days around New Year's
Eve. There you go.
Juice's cousin. That little guy. You called Al Pacino. You called Scarface all the time.
Is that but the one that you were saying?
No, he didn't. No, he was like 18, 19. He was
guy a kid. On earth, man.
He was a kid, but then they came with you to the show in Ventura. Yeah, I knew why you invited them. But you,
the only guys I walked to their car.
But you had a contract, so you had to be on stage, and you were messed up for days and before that. So I was like, you got to get it together and make it up there. So I think I took you up there. They drove behind in their car. And I was like, motherfuckers, dude. These guys are following him with drugs. Like, I knew why they were tagging
vultures,
along.
They're following
but,
you.
But, I mean, like, he's invited them for a reason.
Okay. They were like, listen, man, we can't go together, man. So you got to get a caravan.
Yeah, he said we can't go together because basically I'm the bad person. I'm the mom trying to make him get to his job, you know, making sure he does his thing, right? So I felt like a bad guy there because I'm the buzzkill.
Oh, my right? God.
Those are the bad guys. What the fuck?
So I'm the buzz killington here. But he had to make his gig. You had no money. We were living check to check at that point. You were not headlining everywhere like you are now. And so this was very important that you make this show. And so you did it. And then we're back at that stupid buffet line because it was one of those nights where they had rice and beans and food, Mexican food, right? At the club, and that guy
booked New Year's Day, bro.
New Year's Day, damn. And that guy's next to me, the little kid drug dealer Hungry guy, effort. Not even drug dealer. He just had the stuff. He was the party supplier. So we're standing there, and piling up our plate. And I said, you know, he is not going to want to hang out with you when he starts getting sober. He's like, what?
He's never going to be sober.
Yeah, I'll make sure.
I just gave him
like,
a bump.
What? I said. If he dies at your house, I'm taking the cops right to your front door. That you're the one where he died. He said, "Oh, Felipe's a big boy. I think he can make his own decisions." I said, "All right, motherfucker." I said, "We'll see how this all goes down."
We'll see.
And then he stayed away from me the rest of the night. He was all scared. And then he was like, he kept calling me ma'am the rest of the night. Like, he was all scared. Senora. But, oh, the fucking piece of shit. They don't care. None of them care. I told that thing to that guy, that white guy, Charles, downtown, too. I said, you're fucking white trash piece of shit.
He used to put the cook in the microwave. Come on.
Fucking Charlie.
To make it softer.
And then that guy didn't understand why you didn't call him after everything was, after you were sober either.
Damn.
But they're all like, we used to party with that dude.
But I knew where he was, too. And aww. I was like, I knew you were hanging out over there. And you had to make that taping, that Gene Pompa show, right? The big show. And that was like more money than we had made in months. And I said, look, he has to work or he's gonna lose a lot of money and make a bunch of people mad. Everybody's calling me, where is he. And I knew where you were, and I said
Eric Rivera was polishing his shoes, bro.
Everybody's ready to do this show, and then you showed up somehow, killed it for two shows in a row. And then I came down there a mess. I was such a mess. I hadn't eaten in I think 2 days.
I took a shower, bro, and I still felt dirty, bro.
I got down there and
I took two showers. And I was still sweating, alcohol and drugs, and my eye was still alert.
Oh, you looked bad, man. I have a picture from that night.
They were putting makeup on me. How do I look? How do I look?
But then,
where do I go up?
But then,
finally, Buddha's here. Lisa,
oh yeah, Buddha was there.
Lisa was so happy to see me. She said, "Fucking finally." She was so
no,
tired.
No, I had one beer.
She was so tired of worrying about where the fuck I was.
Yeah,
if I was alive for the last 2 days, that she finally aww collapsed.
I had one beer and I passed out like somebody roofied me because I had finally, like, was able to relax. I knew where he was. I knew he wasn't dead in a gutter somewhere. And I had no food in my stomach.
The show where those two lingerers were still hanging around?
The lingerers were hanging around. And I think I told you in Chicago.
I tricked those fools.
Didn't I point you?
I was looking for them.
Didn't I point them out to you in Chicago? And I said, those pieces of shit right there. They're
outside.
His suppliers.
The Hardy Boys, bro.
Yeah, there was the Hardy Boys. I
walked them outside because I had a pass. Then I'm all later, dog. And I went back. They couldn't get back in. Those fools were mad.
No way, dog.
There you go. See? Wonder Twin Powers.
No wonder you're still here.
Those fools were mad.
For real? Yeah. You psyched them out.
Psyched him out.
How, dog?
I'm like, hey, let's go outside, dog, fucking, because, you know, I have weed, and fucking, then I'll show you what I got. And then, all right, yeah, but we got other shit. I'll check this shit out, dog. So I did the whole, the mad little swoop, fool.
They have all the shit.
Yeah, dog. But they were outside then. No backstage passes.
I was ready, bro. That fool said hello to me like this, bro. When I was like, he said hello to me like this, holding a little sack.
Yeah, dude. You poured water on yourself that night, huh?
After his set.
That shit, sweaty, bro.
Did that shit ever air, fool?
No.
Hell no.
Gene said that the producers were holding it on the shelf for something. I don't know. Maybe he owed the money.
He wanted
I don't know
to get his
story.
Special on there, too.
Buddha was all excited, huh?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, Jerry was still in the band.
That would have been a good show.
Jerry was still in the band.
What's up, fool? Where can they find the eFundMe for the documentary?
Indiegogo.
So it's Indiegogo. On Indiegogo. You can go to my – follow me on social media because I'm linking up on that on Facebook, or also Ralphie's. It's still very active. His Facebook, his Twitter, his Instagram, I'm posting on there so you can follow. But just go to Indiegogo.com and type in Ralphie May or Lana Turner. And then also I have my one-hour special just came out.
Oh,
was
shit.
Re-released.
Oh, hell yeah.
Lemonade?
Thing called, I mean, Limeade?
Limeade. But no, not that. It's not actually that – so I wrote a song about it. I have like all this content out. But that just came back out on Tubi TV, which is this new free app, which is really cool. And then also I relaunched Perfect 10 Podcast. So – since everybody here loves podcasts, you should tune over to that. It's just
and what's your social media?
Just my name, just LAH. You got to remember the HNA Turner, TURNER, so you can find all of that.
What's her name here, right? The lady, Karen something?
Karen Rontowski.
Oh, I love Karen. Karen's
yeah, we
great.
Had her on a podcast, man. She read his future.
She read all of our cards.
She's great. Karen's, I met
they
Karen.
They loved her here, man.
She's cool, man.
Forever ago.
Where'd you meet her at?
I met her when I first started stand-up in Texas.
Where'd you start?
In Houston.
All right.
Yeah.
The laptop, right?
Yes, yeah. The old laptop.
With the old guy. What's his name?
Babbitt.
Babbitt! That was a one swindler, bro.
You know what?
He always took care of me.
Mark Babbitt.
You know what? How
he
many
took care
Babbitts,
of the comics?
Though, have you met? In every time I meet a new – there's a Babbitt like that works at every
Anna
club.
Anna Babbitt. She was an agent.
Yeah. She's your agent, bro, our manager.
But that type of person that sort of like becomes king shit of Turtle Island and treats everybody really bad, and then they end up in an insurance job because they're just like, you know – but then everybody kisses their ass for the time when they're in that position.
Yeah, Ralph the guy Babbitt, Mark Babbitt, he had the Wild Wild West comedy tours, and he used to book all the comedy shows back in the day. He booked Ralph here back in the days.
No, he never really was into Ralph.
But he booked like Gabriel, Freddie Soto, and then he hooked up with Intercon, the Malashes, Joe Malash, Paul Malash.
Babbitt was really nice to me when I first started. This is a funny story because the first time I ever did comedy, was from Babbitt. I was 2 months in after my first open mic, and he let me do a set on the main stage there. And I walked off stage, and he put $20 in my hand, and I didn't know what it was for. And he goes, "I just paid you for your spot." And I at that moment, I was like, "I'm going to be a comic," because nobody had ever paid me to ever stand on stage before. I still make basically $20, but I was just like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!" So I owe a lot to him because he really was the first person that ever was like, "You can do this." Even though I know he's that story of that same person who's it's always a weird thing, right? In the clubs.
And here in LA, where did you start? Comedy Store, Laugh Factory?
At first, a lot of spots at the Laugh Factory.
Whatever between Ralphie and Jamie Masada.
Jamie was always
sad when he couldn't manage no more.
Couldn't
take it to the next level.
You know what? Jamie was good to Ralph. Really, really good to Ralph. And really, really good to me. I will never speak an ill word about Jamie. And I haven't worked that club since Ralphie got kicked out. When Ralphie got kicked out, I got kicked out too. And Jamie over the years has said that I could come back. But whenever I start calling again, I don't really get spots there very much. But
when
I can't say a bad word because he left him. And then I heard another story from Jamie only maybe a year ago.
He owed me money.
That's what Jamie said.
Always.
And I thought he sued him for
but
money at
no,
one point. No.
No.
Oh, I thought
and
he did.
I didn't even know that Jamie felt like Ralph had owed him money. So I was surprised. I said, I've never seen an invoice or a bill or anything. So if there was money owed, I wish I'd have known. That was years ago. And that was that. So.
Because your engagement party was at the Laugh Factory.
Right. And Jamie was I can't find a bad word to say about Jamie because he was always. And here's the thing. Our business, it sucks because we're a human commodity, right? So if you're dealing with Coke or Pepsi and then you leave Coke for Pepsi, that's that. You're done. It's just a product. But we're a product. So when the product leaves you and goes to somebody else and makes them a lot of money, people get pissed. They want to they're like death to you and death to your firstborn. I can't tell you how many people that's happened. Every time he switched management or switched whatever, the hate that came from him and then also like I said, I don't get spots there anymore. I'd love to get back up there. It's my favorite.
I think now he's so removed from the booking process too. I don't even know. It's
Jamie, yeah.
Davis does it now.
Yeah, and Jay's cool. I've always been friendly. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. I get plenty of spots right now, and it doesn't have to be at the factory. I'd love to get back up there because it's easy. But you know what? I like it because I do a lot of shitty hard spots.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm fucking real strong right now. It's because I've been doing these shit spots for years. Nudist gigs. I'll do whatever.
I remember one of the good memories of you and Ralphie was when Dublin was around. That was Tuesday nights, and it was Halloween. And me and Martin Moreno, G. Riley, and this old comic named Noah, and Martin Moreno, we walked from the Laugh Factory to the fucking West Hollywood for the parade. We ran into you and him at the Dublin's.
Oh.
He was dressed he was dressed like a super baby. he had the costume like a superhero.
Oh, the superhero.
Yeah, with a mask, and you were dressed up too.
I think I was dressed as a superhero as well.
Yeah.
Like his sidekick.
Yes.
I think I was like his snack. Snack kit or something. He was Supperman, and I was his snack.
He was Supperman. Yeah, he was a snack.
That's why people always thought I was a gold digger, though. I mean, after he started making money,
he was making money.
Right, but when he started making money and he got famous, people just assumed that I was – because I'm crazy because I was with a broke, fat – not just fat, but gigantically fat. It doesn't make sense. So they assume the worst, but how could she be – that, and I look back and I go, what the fuck was I thinking too? Because my mother hated him and she knew that this wasn't going to end well. Because now I'm a mother, and if my daughter was doing what I was doing back then, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Hell yeah.
So, but I can see why people looked at us and thought that at times because they don't know me and they didn't know that and they don't know him. They didn't know how special he was. So,
how are the babies though? How are they taking it? Are they good?
You know, it's hard. Because I've been